Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the New Testament, the letter of James. James chapter 1, after the letter to the Hebrews. We have the letter of James. James chapter 1, and verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And our subject this morning is receiving the crown of life. Well, we come to these words in this tremendous letter of James. James, who was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ and the pastor of the early church in Jerusalem. And this letter, as a number of you will be aware, this letter of James was the first of the New Testament writings to be published, to be circulated amongst Christians before the Gospels, before the letters of the Apostle Paul, before anything else in the New Testament. We have the letter of James written around AD 50, some say even a bit earlier, perhaps around AD 45. So this is written around 15 to 20 years, we believe, after the death and resurrection of Christ. And this first published letter of the New Testament is very practical, very profound in places, and also very challenging. Right at the beginning of this letter, James speaks of trials and temptations, and we spoke last week about the cost of following the Lord Jesus Christ, how the Christian life is difficult. There are challenges, opposition, persecution, but James calls us to rejoice when we fall into diverse temptations, we read in verse 2. And this was James's message to the early believers. And it's an amazing message. The first instruction in the first letter of the gospel age is to rejoice when you fall into trials, not to moan, not to grumble, not to become despondent, but to rejoice. And that is, of course, as we considered last week, a great part of the evidence that you are a true Christian. If you can rejoice when everything is going wrong, when everything is falling apart around you, well, you rejoice because you know that God is with you, and you know that God has a purpose, and you know that God is, well, he's blessing you, he's sanctifying you through these trials, he's changing you. You trust the Lord, you thank the Lord that he is working in you in that way, and so we can rejoice, we can count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, because this is the work of God, and God is working in us. So that is the first instruction of the New Testament church, to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials, as it is commonly interpreted in this context. But I actually want to look at verse 12. And verse 12 is speaking about temptation of a slightly different kind, and perhaps temptation that we are more used to. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And then we have in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So it is clear that the temptation that is being mentioned here in verses 12 and 13 is not talking about trials. This is talking about being tempted with evil. The temptation to sin, to commit sin, to indulge one's sinful desires and lusts, the temptation to sin. And this really is going to be at the main focus this morning, temptation. It's not a subject that we very often look at, but it is a subject that is worthy of our attention this morning, temptation. Now, temptation is the common experience of every one of us, of every man, woman, and child, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're poor, whether you're rich. Every human being is tempted. It's common. It happens to all of us. It happens all the time. All the time we are tempted. Every day there are situations in our lives that tempt us, that tempt us perhaps to be angry, that tempt us to be lazy, that tempt us to be covetous, tempt us to be proud, tempt us to be unkind. Every day we face temptation of some sort, of some kind or another. And we so easily give in to temptation. This is the very sad thing, and we have to take note of this. We so easily give in to temptation. One of the ways you could describe or define the human race, if you had to define the human race, is that we are so easily tempted. That's one of the ways you could describe us as a race and perhaps explain the cause of why there are so many difficulties and problems and sins in the world. Why is it? Well, because the human race is so easily tempted. That's one of the great reasons. And in fact, this is one of the ways in which the world works. You know, people take advantage of how easily we are tempted. Let me give you an example. This is why companies or businesses or shops spend lots of money on advertising. Why do they spend so much money on advertising? Well, because they know how easily people are tempted. How easily people are tempted. An advert really is a temptation. It's a temptation tempting you to covet something, to buy something that most of the time you don't actually need or you don't actually want, but you're tempted. An advertisement is there to tempt you. And we all fall for it. We are, as a race, a human race, easily tempted. And this is our condition. This is how we are, every single one of us. We're so easily tempted. And this is very sad. And I'll explain this a little more as we go on. But we do read of temptation all the way throughout the Bible. And very early on in the Bible, we read from Genesis chapter 3, right at the beginning. We read of the Garden of Eden, and we read of Satan in the form of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. What was he doing? He was tempting. He was tempting Adam and Eve. And well, this shows the wicked nature of Satan. You know, this passage actually teaches us that to actually tempt somebody is a wicked act. To tempt somebody is a wicked act. That's why Satan tempts, because he's wicked. And God, well, we read in this very passage, God would never tempt anybody. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God does not tempt any man, because it's evil to tempt. God is holy. God is pure. God is righteous. He would never tempt anybody. To tempt somebody is evil. That is what Satan does. And well, we must remember that, just an early point of application. Do we ever play the part of the tempter? Do we ever tempt anybody to do anything? Sometimes we can tempt people without even realizing it. Do you know that? I remember working in an office before I went into the ministry. I worked in a media office, and people were always tempting one another. People always winding each other up. And what is that? What is it to wind somebody up? Really, it's a temptation. It's a temptation to get somebody irritated, wind them up, tempt them to lose their temper, tempt them to get irritated, tempt them to get annoyed, wind them up. That's temptation. Christians shouldn't really be like that, because temptation is of the devil. It's like you're playing Satan's part. We could say also about dress, the way we dress. And I say this to both men and women, if we wear things to tempt people to look at us or to tempt people to lust after us, are we not playing the role of the tempter? That is not how we are to be. We ought to do our very best to be like the Lord, who tempts no man. He does not tempt any man. And so I just mentioned that because that's something we very often overlook. If we tempt people in any way, well, we're playing the part not of God, but of Satan. So to tempt somebody is very wicked. But when Satan tempts us, well, his temptation only really has one intention in mind. Why does Satan tempt us? Have you ever wondered that? Why does he do that? Well, there's only one motivation for Satan, and that is to separate you from God. That's why Satan tempts us into sin. It's not to show us a good time. It's to separate you from God. That's his great agenda. When he tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that's what he did. He said to them, take of the forbidden fruit. You all know the account. And well, of course, he lied. Temptation is always a lie. He said, oh, take the fruit. It'll be good for you. You won't die. It'll be good for you. Your eyes will be opened. You'll be just like God. That was the temptation. That was the lie. What happened? They were actually separated from God. They were separated. They went and hid themselves. They weren't as close to God as they were before. And that is why Satan tempts us. He wants to separate us from God. That's the only reason. That's the only motivation. When we are tempted, well, sometimes we are tempted, and we are tempted to think that sin is harmless. Sin has no consequences. But remember this, every time you sin, every time you yield to temptation, you are being separated from God, being drawn further and further away from God. And that is Satan's plan. That is Satan's design. Are you under the power of temptation? Are you listening to Satan? This is so very sad if you are, because Satan doesn't want anything good for you. He just wants you to be separated as far as possible from your God. So Satan tempts. But actually, if we just come back to this passage, speaking about temptation, Satan is not actually mentioned here. This passage does not mention Satan. In fact, we read something very important in verse 14. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now that's very interesting. This is very important to note. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. You know, sometimes when people fall into sin, it's very easy to blame the devil. Oh, the devil made me do it. But actually, this passage is saying, it's our own fault. We have to take responsibility. Every man is tempted, not just some men. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, we are so easily tempted because there is something wrong in us. There's something wrong in our nature. We are, as the Bible teaches us, we are sinners. We have a sinful nature. We are not good. If man was good, if we were good, we would be able to resist temptation. If we were really good, we'd actually be able to resist every time we were tempted. That's what it is to be good. But we're not good. We have sinful natures. That is what the Bible teaches us, and that is right. Whenever the devil comes to us with his temptation, we're already inclined that way. We already have a rebellious nature against God. We don't want God to rule over us. We don't want God's authority. So whenever Satan comes and tells us, ignore God, we're just happy to do that. We go along with him. We're sort of already on Satan's side. We're opposed to God. We're on Satan's side by nature. And so this is why we're so easily tempted. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, we can't blame the devil. The devil tempts us. The devil hates us. But you know, when you sin, it's your fault. It's your responsibility. That's the teaching of Scripture. And so we must be very clear on these things. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And this is so sad. This is so tragic, because sin makes us miss out on so much. We miss out, in fact, on life itself. Let's read verse 12 again. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. The one who resists, endures temptation, he shall receive the crown of life. You know, it is said that if Adam and Eve had resisted temptation in the Garden of Eden, it is assumed that they would have lived forever. They would have had access to the tree of life, and they would have been blessed. But because they did not resist temptation in the Garden of Eden, they weren't blessed. In fact, they were cursed. It was the opposite. They were cursed. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, but they didn't resist temptation and they were cursed. And they did not receive the crown of life. They brought death into the world. That's what Adam and Eve did. They yielded to temptation and they actually, they deprived themselves of life. And again, well, this is what sin does. When we yield to temptation, we actually deprive ourselves of life. True life, to have true life, this definition of true life that is in the Bible is completely forgotten today, is not understood today. What is true life? How could we define it? True life is holiness. True life is purity. True life is walking with God. That's what true life is. That's how Adam was made. Adam was made for life, a pure life, not a sinful life. He was made to walk with God, to know him, to love him. That is what true life is. If you want true life, you must walk with the Lord. You must have a holy life. But to sin, to yield to temptation, that only takes life away. It's like you're choosing death. You have life on one side. I could choose to do good and do what the Lord loves. But so often we choose death. We deprive ourselves of life. And that is so very sad. So many people you speak to, when they fall to sin, when they fall to temptation, they have so many regrets. They have so many sorrows. I could have done so much with my life, but I made this mistake. I could have done so much with my life, but I made this error, this great sin. I went my own way. You see, temptation deprives you of your life. It takes life away. So, dear friends, we must be on our guard. We must be able to resist temptation. Temptation takes away our life. And sin, well, it shuts us up from eternal life. This is really what the crown of life means here. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Ultimately, this is speaking not just about this life, but everlasting life. Life forever with God. And well, we all know that sin takes that away from us. Sin, even one sin, disqualifies us from being with God, disqualifies us from heaven, bars us from heaven, banishes us from heaven. Again, we can refer to the Garden of Eden. One sin, just one sin committed by Adam, and they were banished from the Garden of Eden. It's like a picture for all of us to learn from. One sin banishes you from the presence of God, just as it did with Adam and Eve. They had to leave the Garden of Eden. One sin for us, just one sin. We cannot enter into heaven like that. This is the lesson that we learn. So how are we to receive this crown of life? Well, it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, these words, they specifically apply only to him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. There is no other man who has endured temptation. There is no other except the Lord Jesus Christ. Only he has lived that perfect, righteous life, a life without sin, a life in perfect obedience to God. He is the only one. He's the only one who is truly blessed. He is the only one who has received the full acceptance of God. And well, if we want that same blessing, if we want that same acceptance with God, we must have faith in him. We must trust in him. We must confess our sin. We must say to the Lord in prayer, I am a sinner. Lord, give me the righteousness of Christ. This is what Christ has done for us. He lived a perfect life, not for himself, but for us. We cannot live a perfect and righteous life. We have all yielded to temptation. We have all sinned. And so in order to know that perfect relationship with God, we must go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need thy righteousness. I need that perfect life that you have lived. Clothe me with your righteousness so that I may be made right with God. That is what we need. No Christian ever looks to himself to get to heaven. No Christian ever depends upon his own performance, upon his own work. You'll never receive the crown of life like that. You'll never receive eternal life. It will always be beyond your grasp, always elusive. It's only when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you trust in his righteousness, not your own. You depend entirely upon him. Then you will be saved. Trust in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who has resisted temptation. We depend wholly upon him and we love him. Look at the last part of this verse. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Well, I was listening to a preacher just earlier this week, and he said something very important, and I say it fairly often. But somebody who is a Christian is not simply somebody who attends church or who is religious, but somebody who is a Christian, well, they are in love. They are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are in a loving relationship. That is what it is to be a Christian. You love God, you love the Lord Jesus Christ, because you know how much the Lord loves you. You know how much the Lord loves you because you know what he did on the cross. You know that he took upon himself the punishment for your sin. You think of your life. You think of your sin. You think of all the times when you just gave in to temptation and how offensive that is to God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, he comes down. And he takes the punishment for you in your place. The one who never gave in to temptation, He suffers for all the times you gave in to temptation. That's his love. Why did he do that? Because he loves us. And this is why we love him. And this is why we obey him and serve him, because he has loved us and given himself for us. And you know, this is how temptation is overcome. Temptation is overcome by love. Love, perfect love, the love of Christ toward us. That's how we overcome temptation. When we know the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts. This is how you hear at times of how Christians overcome great sins. Before they were saved, before they came to Christ, they had terrible sins that they could never control. They kept giving in to temptation time and time again. And yet when they came to Christ, suddenly they had a power. Why? Because they know the love of Christ. It's love that resists temptation. It's this love, the love of Christ. Otherwise, well, we will always be in that snare, in that trap. So, dear friends, I just give you a few meditations, a few things to think of, and just ask the question as we close, how is it with you? Are you somebody who is still, as it were, in the slavery of temptation? It's a slavery. Satan tempts you, you do exactly as he wants, because he is powerful and you are corrupt, you're weak in your own nature. You haven't got a hope. Perhaps Satan is even tempting you now. You've heard the message, you've heard the gospel perhaps many times, and Satan is tempting you as he does every week. Don't listen. You don't need God. You don't need the righteousness of Christ. You're a good person. You know, when Satan tempts, he flatters you. He says, you're a good person. You're wonderful. God will accept you. That's a temptation of Satan. You're under Satan's spell. Or perhaps Satan is saying to you, you don't need this gospel at all. There is no God. Love the world. Love the things of the world. Dear friends, that is the temptation of Satan. And you will always be under the power of Satan until the very end. If you don't come to Christ, you have to stand before God at the very end of your life in judgment. And you will have no hope. God will say to you, did you not hear the message? But you will have to say, but I was so weak and I yielded to temptation and I wanted to yield to temptation. Dear friends, turn away from temptation. Trust in the Lord. He will make known to you his saving power. He will set you free by the power of his love towards you. But you must turn. You are responsible, remember? You must turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, repent and fall before him, and only then will the power of sin be broken in your life. Only then will you be able to claim the crown of life that is promised to them that love the Lord. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us.